Monday, the 17th of May. And just so I start out, we're not going to do Federalist Paper number 62 today. We're going to do that tomorrow. The kind of the nature of things, I'm going to kind of drill down into some county by county stuff today, which relates all to our nation. And we'll come back to the Federalist Papers tomorrow. But I think it's important that we get this reviewed and kind of back into our mindset of what we're facing, especially as we are facing increasing pressures to comply to the will of the deep state and the injection to turn us all into transhumans. Just a lovely thought. It's a nice way to start your Monday. What are you going to do today? Well, I'm going to listen to Bards to hear about how they're trying to turn me into being a robot as I sip my coffee and drive to work. Yay, can hardly wait. What a great topic. It will be. When I get through, you'll be like, whew, missed that bullet. All you have to do is take the little pinprick, and there you go. We'll turn you right into a robot and let it grow inside of you. It's not a joke either. That's the worst part. I wish it was. I wish this was like some sort of crazy sci-fi I was talking about every morning. You're like, where did you see that one? Oh, I saw it on Netflix. Wow, that was a good film. Kind of a cool idea. Good thing we don't have to worry about in our life. Now it's like, where did you see that one? Oh, I've seen it on about 10 different films in the last 10 years, and I hate to tell you, but it's not a joke. It is real, and it's coming to a neighborhood near you. Insane. Let's begin with a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we share each day, time to reflect deeply upon your wisdom and the wisdom that has passed through us, passed to us over the ages, from our framers to this day now. We ask that you'll continue to guide us as we open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, and embrace the wisdom that will lead us into this next phase, reshaping this nation on the grounds of In God We Trust, by your laws, and above all, framed by moral law. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. One of the most powerful parts that comes out in the Federalist Papers is the constant reference back to the people. The fact that our founding fathers assumed and couldn't foresee a time that the people would walk away from the government and not have an interest in their own sovereignty or their own freedom. Sadly, where we are today, sovereignty and freedom is translated into what's the next car I can buy, what's the next house I can buy, what's the next thing I can order on Amazon. We've become a society heavily laced and embedded with the concept that freedom and sovereignty are translated to consumerism and spending lots of money, building up our 401ks, and having a choice to do whatever we want in life, including working all of our lives. And that's the irony, because we will work all of our lives to save some money so that we can truly live once we retire. It's one of the dumbest concepts I've ever come across. And yet people embrace it as normal. I'm not sure how the new normal is any different. In fact, it's not. When we get down to it, the new normal is only offering you one other thing. They're offering you salvation, but not from the hand of Christ. They're offering you salvation through a little pinprick, an injection that carries with it the nanotech. It carries with you the spike protein development. That's the mRNA, which is a programmed part of your RNA. And in the end, the whole objective is to transition you into human 2.0. If you go to Moderna's site, Moderna operating system, you'll find out that they've actually patented the idea of an mRNA coding base, the operating system. They actually see the mRNA as the key, combined with nanotech, to update and reboot and create a uniform basis of operational code within the human body, the human genome. This is truly one of the darkest plots ever created against humanity, and it has every bit of likings. It sounds very similar to many places in the Bible, especially in the chapters of Daniel. If we study what goes on in Seattle at the Seattle New Year's celebration, when they focused, of all things, when did you last hear of a New Year's celebration that focused on the Space Needle? That should give you a clue. They celebrated the New Year's by focusing on the Space Needle. They knew doggone well what was coming. And they celebrated. And if you go back and study that entire show, you're going to witness what they were doing with lights and display and symbology through CGI, which was the death of the old human and the rebirth of the new human right before your very eyes, all through the sense and the sensual experience, the sensational experience of lights telling you that they were going to activate all of this once in place with the 5G wave and then to convert the old human into the new human, which would be a hybrid of their product of nanotech and their created genetics overwriting and merging with the genetics that were created by God. That, Patriots, is the mark of the beast. It isn't a stamped on your head. It's the defilement of the temple that we each are. And their objective right now is to destroy every temple, to defile every temple, which is we, each and every one of us, and get people to willfully accept their injection. And once it's in you, it begins to grow. It doesn't just go dormant. It's growing. It's expanding. It's moving through you. And sadly, those that are choosing that pathway are choosing a road to who they worship, whether you worship God or whether you worship the dark lords. It's all a choice of, it's all about free will and choices. So here we are. And this is a rather overwhelming fight that we face, because the resources and magnitude of this architecture and that they've created are global. It infiltrates nearly every one of our agencies. And to be very honest with you, and this will be very telling in these rallies that President Trump is coming up to in June, I suspect that he will not back down from his vaccine position, the injection position, and telling people that, you know, if you hadn't been for him, you wouldn't have had an injection. I suspect he's going to bring that out. These are the words of advice. Number one, don't worship a man. Number two, it is always about free will. The institutions that are out here that are so corrupt and so big are massive. You're dealing with the engines of the global economy, which runs trillions and trillions of dollars in operations. These people have resources beyond your wildest dreams. It isn't just about money. It's about resources, control, and influence. The brokering is of power, not just of dollars. That's whom President Trump is trying to drain. So if you expect him to always speak to the language that you want, think again. I don't know where he sits on the vaccination issue. I know that I oppose anything he does pro-vaccination. That doesn't mean that I oppose him as president. But I do not worship a man. Be clear about that. And if you do, I'd suggest you go pray about that one, because it doesn't usually end well with God. This is a time right now that we are accountable increasingly to God. And as this battlefield clears, you're going to be faced with a couple of powerful things. I suspect, because that all the pieces are on the board now, that if we're going to talk about all assets deployed and the only thing missing in this equation is what the deep church needs to produce. They need to produce a false idol worship of the greatest kind. And what would that be in terms of biblical terms? An antichrist. We'll see what they do. But be prepared. Thing is, that no matter what happens, put your faith and loyalty first in all things in God. And so that takes us into county by county. Because when we try to worry and think about the big architecture, there is no changing that by itself. You can't impact what these thousands of treasonous traitors are doing in D.C. You can't impact what the seditious media is doing every single day. You can't impact what Hollywood's doing every day other than not participating in their commerce, which is a huge deal. So not playing their films, not being part of Netflix, not being part of Apple iMusic or iTunes or iMovie, whatever it is. By the way, if you haven't checked out Apple's whole series of in-house produced films now that they've started, I mean, this is just like every time we do this, when they do their films, their true colors come to light. So now if you go down and check out Apple's in-house made series, every single one of them has the touch of the love of Lucifer. And I'm not exaggerating. From colors to symbology, it's insane. They're all part of the same thing. It's all part of programming people to get them ready for something, which ultimately that something is the acceptance of a new transition to a new form of being human, and ultimately the worship, because that's part of the model of a single leader, the worship of a demigod, an antichrist, and the acceptance of one world religion, which will be some sort of fake god that they will worship, probably an AI. So how do we fight? We have to fight by a county-by-county model, which is all built principally on the way this nation was constructed. It's all built in concept of what our founding fathers wanted us to do, to be engaged locally. The House of Representatives, an important part of that representation in the federal government, was designed that people could rotate their representative every 2 years so that that representative stayed relevant to the issues in the local area. The state senators were set up to be on a rotation of every 6 years, which gave the policies of the state on a statewide level much more stability and put equality between states regardless of their population size. But the House of Representatives made it population specific so that there were more representatives in states that had more population. So there was a check and balance put in place to ensure that there would be representation to the people. States would get a little more that had more populations, but everybody and the Senate would be represented the same. But again, our most important part of this, and it goes back to what our founding fathers talked about and what authorities they gave to the House of Representatives, all tied down to the local level. Taxation, tariffs, and the raising of the militia. All that's a local level issue. So we have to get re-engaged in our counties. And we have to start doing it with great steam and vigor to get ourselves involved, to affect change, and be heavily involved in our local community, politics and representation. All of this begins with, in the first pillar, of what we call informed action. Informed action is critical because it's literally where we are developing the knowledge and wisdom that includes education on the current state of affairs, revising the true histories, mapping the political terrain, and developing targeted action plans to transform the governance in a county back to a place of constitutionality and a foundation in God. This is so critical. Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. We have to get involved in mapping out our local communities. These are great exercises to do together in a local community group, not just one by one. But to sit down in building your networks, to sit down together and to map out who's the sheriff, who's the county commissioners, that's where you start. But then you have to go deeper. You need to know who your mayor, who your chief of police is, who's on your city council. Go deeper. Who's behind them? On each of those positions right there, what's their political positions? Who funds them? Who funded their campaign? What deals did they broker? Did they broker deals here with China? They brokered other deals. Who's influencing them? And then go deeper. Who's in the non-elected? Who's on the other elected positions of the county? Whatever those elected positions are, ask the same questions. You're creating what's called a political terrain map. You're getting to know the nuances of every single position. You should be able to know all these positions. And part of growing government very large and expansive is to try to hide those influential positions from you. What you're often going to discover is as you get into these things and you start to discover, like, who's giving the sheriff his advice on what policies to do? Who's giving the city council? Who's influencing them on what policy direction to go? And what you may discover is it might be the most unexpected place, like the person who's in the purchasing department, maybe having tremendous influence over a couple of the county commissioners because they've got some back drug deal going on that's able to siphon off money and make sure that every one of those county commissioners gets a little take. You have to dig. You have to research. You have to start by getting out the whole map of where these things are, and then you just have to start asking questions. Patriots, this is not an easy process, but it's also an essential process that each one goes through it and you have to go deeper. You research, you get into finding out who funds campaigns. This is all public knowledge stuff. You have to find out where to get those resources. So why is this so important? Because one of the things that we're suffering from in this country right now is what is literally the effects of the reptilian brain. And I'm not kidding when I say this. You're going to hear more about that this week in our interviews. But it's the principle that people are not thinking freely anymore. They're not thinking for themselves. They're just obeying. The reason part of brains has been shut down. And the only way to break through that is to start digging, asking questions, and seeking knowledge. That's a lot of challenge for a lot of people. And none of this stuff I'm talking about is easy, but you're going to have to learn to do it. And there is no set answer. You're going to have to go into records. You're going to have to read older newspaper filings, find out who funded campaigns. You need to find out, you have to ask questions with the local community. You have to get to know your community. And this is why it's great to do this as an exercise and learn how to find these things. At this point in time, if you've just been writing on social media and just hanging out and not learning how to research, you've missed that major component of why we have used social media. We're sharing knowledge to stimulate other people, still stimulate each other to go out and research and verify. Research, verify, research, verify. That's how we get through this. This has to be done. And it has to be, each person has to learn to do this because that's part of expanding your thinking and your capacity and not just being an obedient slave to the system or an obedient victim to the system, which is even worse. So the mapping out of the political terrain in the county is absolutely critical. And all of that allows for understanding that what actions we're going to take. If you find out that there's a major influencer in your area, for example, that's a small business owner that's ultra-liberal, that's dumping a ton of money in to get policies to push his agendas, then organize a boycott and crush that small business. You have to think dimensionally. You have to start looking at where the waste in government is. You need to start taking initiative in your counties and your cities to push for smaller government, finding out what's essential and what's non-essential. And you have to work together to build. This is an informed action. The first pillar of this is a great deal about establishing that community networking that we need so desperately, which is how we awaken. Don't forget school boards. Don't forget and the impact they have. Elected and non-elected positions are critical to understand because they all wield power. You can take over the elected positions, and then they can in turn influence the non-elected positions. Very important. Pillar number two is home churches. The intent of getting the intent of Christ and the legacy of Paul back into our lives. The rekindling of the teachings of our Lord in small groups in our homes. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is a critical part of getting our counties reestablished and re-strengthened. And this is a place where we have to work together here as we move through this to bring that church and the church study groups back into our homes. The church is, not all churches are bad, but so many churches are corrupted with the 501c3 model that they've lost their way. And the thing is, we have to get back to bringing Christ into our hearts and that relationship to God through Christ to the Father. And that, and part of that is to bring groups together to explore the Bible, not to tell people how it is, but to discuss it, to share it, to challenge each other to think about Scripture, to put that to prayer, to get prayer active back in our lives, to build the networks, to look at the strength of prayer and the strength of Him in healing. Critical pieces. Getting ourselves back to living by God's laws. And that's all about reforging those foundations in our community in God we trust. And we do that home by home, very much like Paul did. The third pillar is Patriot Gardens. This is building from the tradition of Victory Gardens, which were done in World War II to get people to grow their own food, to offset the food shortages that were starting to happen because so much food was being exported to the soldiers overseas. And right now, this is a critical issue. I've been talking about this for months. I hope people have their gardens in. If you don't, get one in. If you don't know, if you don't have the space, you can at least take care of growing sprouts on your kitchen table or your kitchen counter. Take some charge of the food that you eat. Genesis 2:9, the Lord made us all kinds of trees. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Back in our gardens, we are now faced with accountability. Accountability of what we put in our lives and put in our food and put in our bodies, our temple. We're responsible for that. What we consume, both to get away from the processed food, to get away from the dependency on the corporate food program. These are things of how you strengthen your own personal sovereignty and your freedom. Reclaiming sovereignty over what we consume is essential. Enhancing health and well-being through food and herbs is essential. Using food and herbs as therapeutics, improving the earth through our stewardship of our gardens, not relying on petrochemicals to do the job. Transforming our landscapes into edible landscapes so they become productive spaces. Increasing the physical and the spiritual energy through what we grow and eat and being participative in that world that we are in our own homes. And connecting with God through the earth and the plants that we grow. These are just such critical components. And they build off of informed action. They build off of home churches. And it's part of strengthening our home as a sovereign entity. And with that, we're building in the community strength as well. Because if we're doing a garden, and then hopefully we can link with other gardeners, as you should, and build that movement out through your neighborhood. Ideally, every single household has a garden. And that offsets those times of scarcity to where each person has some measure of control over their food supply, which is going to be increasingly critical as we head into the summer, as we watch this administration try to dismantle everything that we have in the country for the benefit of turning us into another version of China. Notice I did not put on your list study Chinese, but if we keep going this way, we may have to. Homeschooling is another one now. Homeschooling is a big one on many different levels. So reclaiming and the nurturing of our children and instilling the ideals of free thought, faith in God, service to community, and the pursuit of deep knowledge that leads to our gifts and talents. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is about getting God back into the teaching of our children, God-centric teaching, strengthening the family and the respect for elders, building community education networks and support. This is big because just homeschooling your child is typically parents take it upon themselves to do it on their own. which is challenging. But when we do this in another way, when we take this up and we say, what about, it's, I'm going to use Layla Saunter's comment, which is building community pods. It's a great idea. It means getting with a community of people that you can share that teaching. And it's especially important with the workloads on parents and families these days. But that way you can share teaching responsibilities and whatever that looks like, and homeschool your children together if you don't have the time or ability to do it on your own. But it's so important to get our kids out of these indoctrination programs known as public schools. Give that strength back to the child so that they have the ability to walk in this world without fear and be able to walk in with the freedom of knowledge and the strength of God in their heart. That's our responsibility as parents, and it's our responsibility as communities to work together to help one another do that. If you haven't heard, they have increased the attacks on Christian homeschooling families. There's a shocker. The numbers were something like 2 or 3% of the families. It was 2 or 3% of homeschoolers were Christian, or Christian community was homeschooling. That went up to 9% right around the time that the pandemic started, and now it's over 20% of Christian families are homeschooling. That is a threat to the deep state, and naturally they are now attacking it as expected. That means we have to put more effort in it to make them more upset. That means we're winning. The fifth pillar is right work. Resetting our livelihoods to be built upon the gifts and talents God has given us to release us from the yokes of government and or corporate masters. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We have a responsibility to use our gifts and talents well beyond just living in life. Ultimately, those gifts and talents should lead us places that as we trust in God to use those tools to expand God's kingdom, to help one another, to help our neighbors. Those gifts and talents become the foundation of our success and our ability to work in this world and earn a living in this world. Very, very important. And we need to use those to separate ourselves from the dependency and the enslavement that we have in these government and private jobs. People have been lured into these jobs for crazy reasons. One I love most is government, because people think it's a good idea to go work for government as if the money's coming from the trees. The money in the government offices with all these benefits that people get is coming from your pockets. So every time a person coos about getting a government job, I just grit my teeth, because that means that they're benefiting from taxes that's being burdened upon us. And that's a cycle that has to end, completely end. We have to get back to where people are earning their way and being accountable for what they earn and being accountable for what they do in the world for the benefit of each other and the community. That means getting back to doing right work, reclaiming sovereignty, or discovering God's gifts and talents, living faith and living by faith. Those two, living faith and living by faith. Building careers and businesses built on giving to the world, allowing God to work through us and raise us, transforming the world through the creations he leads us to do, and always paying forward. These are principles of right work. Number six is health and healing. The creation of this whole idea is that we need to be using natural cures, herbal medicine, fitness, proper diet, prayer, and using those things in our homes to strengthen us and to give us a better foundation for what we deal with out in the world. And coming from that, as you've heard, that we're working on this PDF for the five pillars of health in this time that I worked with Dr. Tenpenny on. And those five pillars of health tie right in here to health and healing. first on those, and this is coming from Dr. Tenpenny and myself, so this is important. It isn't just some like woo-woo science. First on that pillar is prayer and faith. Second is strengthening our immune system. Third is exercise, which in that exercise piece is significant. It includes in the strengthening of our immune system and exercise, it also includes literally walking on the earth with your bare feet to help get that connection with the earth again. The fourth pillar of that is frequencies. Not only listening to music, ideally music that's 432 hertz, but also singing music, singing hymn and playing music, creating music of your own. Those are powerful things. And the fifth element of health and healing in that model is the exposure to the frequencies of light, seeing the different colors and the frequencies of light, the different range of light, which means get outdoors, see the real world the way God has intended, create colors in your home. All of these things have positive healing effects on your body. Study some about color. It's important. And the seventh pillar of all of this is energy. To develop energy independence from our home through the county. So we're transforming our lives to live more in balance with God's world. We're separating ourselves from the yokes of the corporate energy state and empowering, decentralizing the generation of independent to create independent communities. So this is a real resource-based issue. This can be everything from being more cognizant of how we use energy and resources in our home to going even as far as to setting up some measure of independence like solar, or maybe it's a hydro system you have depending on your home. Doing everything we can to separate ourselves from the dependence and the controls of the corporate America. Very important. That's our county by county model. And it's a critical component to how we take this country back, one step at a time. Each one of these seven pillars we can address in our home. And if every household in the county was to take on these seven pillars, focus on it, and get these, even if you had 50% solution on every single one of those, you've transformed your county. By virtue of this, you have a higher level of knowledge by every single voting patriot in the county or voting citizen in the county. You've reclaimed the strength of God in the homes. You've put the power of controlling of your diet to a large degree back into patriot hands. You've put our children back into a place where they're getting education that's God-centric. People have taken initiatives to at least in part create an income stream that's away from the controls of corporate or government yokes. There's been a re-empowerment of health and healing so that each person has taking steps to eat better, exercise, take care of their own personal health, get away from this corporate drug culture called medicine. And then is energy and resources. Using those energy and resources in our home in such a way that we're seeking to separate ourselves from the 100% dependence on the power grid and other grids. Each one of us has that challenge. Each one of us needs to strive to accomplish this at the highest level we can. It's not just a good idea fairy thing. This is about literally how we retake this country. And it's the only way we'll successfully do it, because it's the only way that you can at the end start cutting away the controls of the corporate powers that run this world. When the counties start to pivot back to being more autonomous, more sovereign, with the power that goes with that, with the sheriff, it's huge. The sheriff can determine, has an unbelievable level of power when the sheriff understands all of this. And some of that means that we may have to educate our sheriffs as well. But the bottom line is that our counties are the pivot point of reclaiming sovereignty for the nation and resetting the nation. And every bit of this work begins in our home and is spread from neighbor to neighbor, community to community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and getting the pivot back to where we take back control of our counties to where they're autonomous, or at least have the potential of being autonomous from the corporate masters that want to dangle those chains. And we have leadership back in our counties that's putting the Constitution first and the well-being of the people first. That there's a moral accountability in that leadership, that it's accountable to God. We try to root out the graft and corruption, the selfless or selfish acts of leadership versus the selfless acts of statesmanship. This is what we have to do. And in so doing this, we will accomplish great things, county by county. That's a way forward here, and it's a way that every single one of us becomes accountable to our local communities as our founding fathers intended. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we come together each day to reflect deeply on all that's before us, the wisdom that's been left for us, and which allows us to dig deep and to understand what is needed in our local communities. Lord, these are challenges that each patriot has in their own lives. Some patriots are in places where this is happening well, and the patriots are living in places where this hasn't begun. We ask that you'll guide each one, to guide patriots to share with one another, to awaken to the strength that we each have to effect change, and to literally use that strength in our mind, our reason, to dig, to learn, to expand our knowledge, and to become powerful influencers of change through the acts of peaceful acts of knowledge and faith. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So, patriots, the challenge is ahead of us. It's a challenge to fight at this local level, to win at the local level, and to county by county reset our nation and our states. It's the only way forward. And it's the way that we can ensure that each one of us has a sense of victory and understands also what it takes to achieve victory. And it's tangible victories that we can see and experience and live through. It allows for a constant teaching experience for families and children to see what leadership looks like, what county participation or public participation looks like, of serving your nation through the various acts locally, to how important that is to serving community and serving nation as part of who we are, of having God in our lives again, a strength of guidance and faith in all that we do. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Prayers up on this, patriots. This is a big one, and this is where our strength of victory really lies. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And like always, God always wins. So see you this evening at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Tonight is an interview with Clay Clark. I think you'll enjoy it very much. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again.
Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples, it has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.